Jesse is a friend. Yeah, I know he's been a good friend of mine. But lately something's changed, it ain't hard to define. Jesse's got himself a girl and I wanna make her mine. And she's watching him with those eyes. And she's loving with that body, I just know it.
You're listening to Fakeologist Audio, a periodic audio where I explore the world of media fakery. You can find my blog at fakeologist.com, where you'll find all the links to the live stream and audio archives. You'll also find links to my sub-blogs, forums, email, PayPal, Twitter, and YouTube. We now use Discord for all our interactive audio and text. To join in on any live conversation, go to our main page and connect to the Discord server on the right, or visit bit.ly/fakechat. Now, here's your host, the Fakeologist, Admirato. Alrighty, here we are. It is a Sunday. It is March 18th, 2018. This is a at-the-last-minute Fakeologist radio show. It is Sunday here on the north shores of Lake Ontario. We finally got special guest Jesse Waugh to drop in to the Discord chat after a few issues trying to get him in. And I'm having a few issues today. I hate when people talk technical, though. So I will refrain from that. Now let me just get him into the audio here, if I possibly can. Oh, here we go. Jesse Waugh, hello. Go ahead, Jesse. Say something. Oh, hey, how are you?
Oh, no, it didn't.
No, you're here.
Are you?
Okay. Good. I was just playing a little bit of my song that I wrote back in the 80s, Jesse's Girl.
That is a really good rendition, man. Seriously.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's actually Rick Springfield playing. I can't tell a lie. This is the Truth
is
Network.
It, really?
It is. Rick Springfield. I was yanking you hard there. That's
right.
From the YouTube.
Fakeologist doing his best there.
Oh, yeah. Just yanking your chain there. Rick Springfield, every teenage girl's from the 80s heartthrob. And I like to tie in names with songs because, of course, we get all our culture from the controllers, and everyone who thinks of Jesse probably thinks of that if they were anywhere doing anything in the 80s that they can remember.
If they're of a certain age. I remember being in a pizza parlor when I heard that when I was about 10 years old, and everybody telling me, yeah.
That must make you almost the same age.
I'm 43.
Yeah, I guess not so much.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, how old are you?
I am 50. 50, half a century.
Cool. All right.
Yeah, I'm getting up there. And I've been doing this truther kind of fakeologist psyop deconstruction since 2012. And that makes about 6 years coming up next month. April 2012 was a huge, huge time for me. That's when I started looking at all kinds of things, and I stumbled upon 9/11, and I haven't turned back since. I've just been been nonstop. It's just crazy that I'm still interested.
Wait, so then I have a question for you, because basically I was under the impression that the whole truth movement thing, I mean, not to include you in that. I don't know whether you would include yourself in that, but
Jesse.
Yeah, now I can hear you again.
Okay.
I swear I did not press anything.
No, it's okay. I believe you. I'm having issues here, too. I just rebooted my Discord.
Okay, cool.
It's all right. You're back.
Is it still recording or whatever?
It is recording, my friend.
Okay, good. All right, cool.
And I'm just digging up from FakeTube, my new YouTube server that I use for all videos that I want to save. And that is where I placed Nuke Lies, which is the whole reason that you're here. So I'm just going to see if I can find it as an experienced searcher of internet, all things internet, and see how easy it is to bring up. So we're going to do that now. Fakeologist. Nuke lies. I'm not sure Google doesn't find a lot of my website stuff anymore. And, okay, where are you? Here we are. Nuke lies on FakeTube. So just in case nobody knows who you are, I'm going to play Nuke Lies on FakeTube, which is a post I made on Fakeologist.com way back on March 14th, 2018. I wasn't sure if your video survived the Great Purge, but I did find it somewhere on someone's channel, and it is now on FakeTube, and this is what it sounds like. I'll press the start button, and... I like the intro.
Thank you. Dun, dun, dun.
Whoa.
Do nuclear bombs exist? Your immediate answer is yes. But how do you know? During the mid-20th century, television and movie watchers were bombarded with imagery of what was purported to be atomic test footage.
Well, I just paused that. Actually, we got really good latency on FakeTube. That comes up real well in the good audio, too. Is that the younger Jesse Waugh? Jesse Waugh?
Yeah, that's from 11 years ago. And I don't know where you're watching it, but I've been reposted because I took it off my channel like years ago.
Yeah, I'm watching it on FakeTube.
I kind of wish that I hadn't done that because it had gone like viral fairly early in the days of YouTube when like going viral kind of meant something. But I just ended up taking it down like I don't know, maybe 2012.
Okay.
You know why actually is because it pertains to the story of the Nucleus Forum and stuff like that, which I guess we'll get into later. But I took it down when I took down Nuclize Forum just because I wanted to sort of purge myself or purge it all from myself or whatever, just separate myself from it for a while.
So that was 11 years ago. You would have been 32, almost 33, which is the highest degree in Scottish Rite Freemasonry, as I always like to think. I always look for 33, and I'm never disappointed.
That's weird, yeah. No, it's 2007. Wait, 2007 was... Yeah, I was 32, 33, exactly, yeah.
And I'm even going to go for a quick walk after this call because there was a fire down the street at what time do you think in the morning? 3:30, as usual.
Okay.
3:30, as usual. I want to go see if that house really is missing now because that's what I like to do. On-the-ground investigations into local fakeology. I do big, I do small. The more local you can do things, the better. You know what they say? Think global, act local. And I apply that to all my psyops. But anyway, you did this groundbreaking video. And I'm going to tell you why I'm going to call it groundbreaking. Because when I discovered, and I don't know your opinion on 9/11, but when I discovered in my own mind that 9/11 was the greatest military media hoax of our time, when I figured that the entire world could be fooled by the television, and I thought to myself, wow, what a relief that that didn't happen as we were officially told. So then I thought, what else in the wide world scares the piss out of me on a daily basis? And it was, of course, nuclear bombs. What else is bigger in the entire world? So I went to the great search engine Google, who we all know is now evil. I typed in nuke hoax. And within a short period of time, I came to your YouTube video called Nuke Lies. And after watching that, I thought, damn, I've been afraid of this damn thing all this time. And you basically blow the whole idea apart in about 10 minutes. I thought,
I'm glad to hear it.
What a relief. I said,
yeah, I know. The cornerstone of world power is a farce.
Yeah, you just blew away my biggest fear. I said, now I can sleep at night. I live down the street from a nuclear power plant, which depresses the prices of houses in this area. And
yeah.
I guess not so much anymore because Torontonians will live in in matchboxes now real estate's gone so crazy. So maybe not so much anymore. But I thought, wow, what a relief. And thanks to you.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much for
telling
me that.
That's why I put on my website, this is one of the most important videos of our time. And it's not because of the movie editing skills. It's just the message you put together in such a quick, concise manner that if you believe this video, which I do, then you can literally rip apart some of the most horrific, awful things that have ever happened in the history of the world.
Yeah, and it's much more important than the moon landing, because the moon landing doesn't control us nearly as much as the nuclear bomb myth, you know?
Yeah, and you got to ask yourself, why aren't there 100 videos like this, at least, why haven't about hundreds of videos been made after your video? Where are all the Nuke Live videos? Because there's really nothing there still. How's that possible?
Okay, I hit a nerve with Nuke Lies. I hit a nerve, okay? And I wasn't the first to question nuclear bombs, although I did question them entirely on my own, okay? But I fully accept.
Who was before you?
Well, I don't know. I think you sent me a link to some – was it you that sent me – I
was waiting for Jesse to come back.
You know, hey, are you still there?
Yeah. I just go silent when you went away. I guess you're on Wi-Fi.
That was that phone call that I said was gonna. Yeah. So anyway. So okay. So
tell them to bug off. We're talking about the world
here. What was I telling?
Before your video, there were others, and you said I sent a link. I don't remember sending you a link.
Okay. Right. I don't know if somebody. I don't know if maybe Rolo sent me.
Rolo. Yes. Radio Rolo. Yeah. We like to call him.
Radio what?
Radio Rolo. He's a fake.
Okay, right, okay.
He has a show on the Fakeologist Radio Network. Tune in.
Oh, he does? Okay, cool.
Fantastic guy. Shout out to Rolo.
I think he might have sent me a link. Somebody sent me a link. Anyways, I looked at there's a Wayback Machine
forum
archive
internet site.
Of stuff, forum from 2004 showing somebody's questioning nuclear bombs, and he's getting the standard. You know, what about Hiroshima? And like, are you serious? You couldn't be serious. You're stupid. Basically, everybody just calls you stupid, and they still do that now. And you're talking about why aren't there more videos about the nuke myth? Well, that's because I hit a nerve with that. Anybody who talked about this, anybody who questioned the existence of nuclear bombs, really hit a nerve in the mid 2000s. And instantly, I think what happened was that the intelligence agencies just went full throttle on trying to quelch, or whatever the word is.
Squelch.
Squelch the anybody questioning it. And they would get their fusion center operatives to just completely, you know, barrage you with demoralization like tactics to get you to shut up. And Well, I mean, okay, so basically there's a story, okay? There's a story to Nuclize. And
let's
what
hear
it is
exclusive, what is worldwide exclusive right here. Yeah. Do we have a sound effect for that? Let's see. I don't know. Okay. Here it is. Worldwide exclusive on Fakeologist Radio Network. Jesse Waugh. What happened?
That's perfect. Okay,
explosive
so...
Explosive radio.
So what happened was, can you hear me? Yeah.
Go. I'm on the edge of my seat. I almost fell off.
Just popped up on Discord. Discord's really confused. But anyways. Yeah. Okay. So I make this film. Okay. It really bubbled up in me. It took me a while to decide to actually make that nuclearized film. And it's a really lo-fi now in retrospect, really lo-fi film.
Yeah.
It's like not in HD. It's like I'm just pulling YouTube videos and chopping them up and, you know, commenting.
Doesn't matter. I don't even notice the quality. It's the message that counts.
The message was really, it was a catharsis for me to make it. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I made it, because I knew that I had to make it. It was like a spiritual, work for me. Okay. Okay. It went on and it started getting, it went viral pretty much on early.
By
YouTube,
the way, for all those who don't know English, catharsis is the purification and purgation of emotions. P- particularly pity and fear, through art or any extreme change in emotion that results in renewal and restoration. Fantastic word. And it's Greek for Faye, by the way. Faye, I love that. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Faye. A shout out to Faye, too, because I just spoke to Faye. And, okay, so.
Another leading Fakeologist member, by the way, Faye. Mm-hmm.
So what happened was, I made the video. It went viral on YouTube relatively. Like, I think it got 100,000 views or something. And it got a lot of comments and a lot of negative comments and a few positive comments, but it did get some attention. Then, around, I don't know when it was, maybe 2011, I started a forum, online. And, it was called nuclize.org or nuclize.
Oh, yes. Nuclize.org. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the forum started taking off. I put a PHPB forum software on it, which is really complicated software.
Yeah, I know about it.
Techie, but I hope this.
No, I'm techie. I love techie.
I don't know how to do that kind of stuff, but I've managed it.
I barely do either.
It started attracting actual like commenters and everything, right? And there were four main commenters. There was Revisionist, who I'll get into. His name's Ray West.
Know him well.
He lives in Black. Do you know him well?
I don't know him well. I know my wife barely well, but I know of him, and I did interview him on Fakeologist Radio something or other way back.
Okay, well, I'll get into him.
Good.
I'll talk about him.
Dish the dirt.
I despise gossip, but I need
me too.
I need to set the story straight with Ray, and I've already told him everything I'm going to say.
Ray, come on, Ray, you can tune in now to Fakeologist Radio 2, the live stream, and then we won't be talking behind your back. No, I won't bring him on.
English accent, okay.
No, I won't bring him on.
Thank you, Ray. We all know you're a superior Englishman, and all us Americans are less than you. Thank you. But anyways,
well, we bow to the Queen here. We're in Canada.
Well, I'm a Canadian citizen and a British citizen.
No way,
and an American citizen. Yeah.
You're so three. I didn't know you could be three.
Myself, huh?
You can be three citizenships at once.
Just don't tell any of them. Don't tell any.
No, you got to give one of them up. I think the British don't allow that.
No, they do. They do. None of them care anymore. It's all globalism.
Well, the worst part about it is you probably have to file three tax returns. I can hardly afford my two accounts.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's insane. I don't recommend it. But strangely enough, I hate to interrupt you, but that's how I got into all this. It's because I was trying to figure out how to do my American taxes because there was a global media campaign to get all Americans to file no matter where they lived. Can you believe that?
Yeah, I remember that. It was a few years ago.
And it scared I just wanted to go over the border to buy cheap shit. So I figured, well, if they link the computers up and I don't do my tax returns, I'm going in the Erie County Jail. I don't want to go there. So
they made Boris Johnson, who was mayor of London, pay his. They tried to make him pay taxes on some house he lived. He owned in New York because he's born in New York, so he gave up his American citizenship.
Yeah, I never did that. I worked too hard to get my American citizenship because I'm naturalized. But still, I thought, Jesus, I had no idea about the media and scare tactics and all that. But okay. So you're the citizen of three countries. You're the ultimate globalist. Way to go.
I'm a total globalist.
You're the total globalist. Yeah. Okay. Getting back. So we're talking about Ray West. He's from Britain.
Okay.
Somewhere.
So I start this forum online. It starts gaining traction. And Revisionist comes on board and he starts taking over basically.
Oh.
He starts, adding all this convoluted, content to the table of contents, which I had nice and simple and clean. Like, on forums, you'll have general topics and then you have whatever.
How did he get that status? Was he a moderator?
Yeah, he was a moderator and he was helping me a lot.
Oh, okay.
He was helping me a lot.
All right.
He called me up, when I was living in a place called Queen Camel in England in Somerset. He called me up and said hi to me and introduced himself and stuff like that. And he was cool. And it's to this day, I like the guy. He's a decent guy. It's just that, I'll get into what I think he is. But anyways, so I started the forum, Ray came on as Revisionist. A guy named Edmund Matthews came on.
Oh, yeah. He came on to the Fakeologist News Network, too. Yeah, he was here, too. I can't remember his shtick right now. But, yeah, he was here.
Well, I'll talk about him, too. Okay, and then there was another guy who I can't remember what his moniker was on his username was on Nukalize, but he seemed to be the legitimate article. Like he seemed
the
like
real
a
deal
cool guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, the real deal. And he was actually the only one who, maybe there's one other that really seemed like the real deal. But anyways, the forum, we had tons of topics on it. Ray would moderate it with a very heavy hand.
Mm-hmm. Did you have to put the word Jew in every text for
yeah,
him
exactly.
to, for him to approve the post?
Ray would use the word Jew as like, as a common noun, you know.
Yeah,
like
it was the same.
Instead of
yeah,
he
it was the same as the word the or and. He'd be yeah. every sentence.
Exactly. Exactly, yeah. And forget it. It's the same as every word. Just Jew, just the whole thing's Jew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But anyways.
The Queen's a Jew.
Which I said was fine. And I made an official statement on the forum itself saying, you know, as long as you qualify what person you're speaking of, then if you want to talk about them, then go ahead. You know, if you want to talk about a Jew, then specify exactly what Jew you're talking about. Don't just use Jews as a common noun. And I stand by that. I think that's reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise there's absolutely no ban on talking about Jews for at all, or, you know, but anyways, so
you had that forum going with Ray. So what happened?
Yeah, but he used a heavy hand, and he also used sort of demoralization tactics against me. And what I when I say demoralization tactics, what I mean is like I think that these intelligence operatives, or just kind of low grade fusion center operatives, I would call them, like
mm-hmm.
you know, like these people in Israel or America or the UK that are like typing away at their computer boards. On other computers, with aggressive comments and insults.
Mm-hmm.
And when you make comments on videos or whatever, those are like people that have been trained that I think this is how they're trained. I think it's basically just if you attack, if you go on the attack, you start insulting, start being acting condescending, then you can control people and you can get them on the defensive, but you can also demoralize them. And I think Ray's schooled in that. And I think that what he was able to do was just, he was actually able to employ that on virtually anybody that came on the forum, and also against me too, in order to sort of gain some power over the forum.
I put a note right in the live stream show notes on what a fusion center is, if people don't know what we're talking about. A fusion center is an intelligence gathering, analysis, and dissemination site of major urban area center, which is owned by state, local, and territorial law enforcement and Department of Homeland Security entities, many of which were jointly created between 2003 and 2007 under the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Office of Justice Programs in the United States Department of Justice. Woohoo! I think that was a way of the feds to basically coordinate and run state and local law enforcement, which they're not allowed to really do. Goes against the whole spirit of these United States.
Yeah, so I think what they are, what these people that I'm referring to are basically sort of like the telephone operator, customer service representative level people in intelligence agencies. So there are people that are on low end that basically think that they're part of the CIA or the Mossad or MI.
Okay.
Five or six.
Whatever it is, even if they're not really employed, you're saying they're very disruptive, and
right,
yeah, because
they're schooled, they're learned, they are trained how to combat commenters on videos and on forums.
Well, basically, they are the military version of a kid kicking over an anthill, and what I mean by that is. It is very easy to disrupt any type of organization. Just the whole idea of human relations, talking, getting along, is very tenuous. We don't just automatically form a corporation or form a gang, form a group. It takes time. These things take time to build for trusts to be gained. But it's really easy to blow them apart. I can instantly blow up any friendship because I can just quickly say, well, so-and-so said this about you, and that can blow apart one link immediately. So it's that kind of gossip equivalent of that they do to disrupt online forums, which are very tenuous at best too, because we don't know each other. We are only little flickering dots on a computer screen, so we don't know who the hell we're talking to. And yeah. It's a great way to meet and share resources, but it's also, very tenuous, and we don't know exactly who we're talking to at any time.
Yeah.
I don't really know you.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't really know me. I'm not in Langley. I can tell you that. I can tell you I'm on the north shores of Lake Ontario in Toronto, Canada. I'm not part of any CSIS or intelligence agency. I'm just a guy who has a passion for media that now is in the passion of looking into media skeptically. That's it. That's the only way I've changed. Yeah. So we never really heard why Jesse Waugh walked away from his forum. So now you're telling us why.
Right. So what happened was so there was those three guys, and then there were like a lot of people obviously trying to spam the forum and stuff like that. And Ray would keep a check on that. And he was very good at that, actually. What he was doing was he was obfuscating the forum by just making the table of contents unreadable by just making it too complicated, which is a standard tactic, I think. It's just making things too complicated. I mean, I think that's what the Bible and the Talmud and I think any kind of scripture mostly is. It's just like, it's just obfuscation through confusion, you know? So if you write I tried to read the Bible when I was like a teenager. You can't read the Bible. How is anybody supposed to read that, you know?
I read the children's Bible. It was full of pictures. I love that one.
Yeah, well, I read that too, but that doesn't count, dude. But
I like books with lots of pictures.
But, and then like a law, like if they make a law and it's 3,000 pages.
Yeah, canon law.
Deliberately, you know.
Yeah, how big was the NDAA, the law that came in after 9/11? 3,000 pages or some occult number? Remember?
Maybe that's where I got that.
That was ready to go. That was ready to rock and roll by the end of 2001. So who, yeah, you think they just wrote that on September 12th? Give me a break. They probably had it.
Or it's just full of a bunch of, you know, legalese gobbledygook that nobody's ever going to decipher.
Well, in defense, the one thing I'll say about Ray's website, which I believe is called Big Lies.
Well, that's actually a bit, let me interrupt.
Okay,
Big Lies is an archive of Nuke Lies. That's it. He may have added a few things, but I don't even think he has.
Well, he does have a front page to the forum.
Yeah, but it's a mirror of what Nuke Lies was, and he changed it to Big Lies instead of Nuke Lies. In fact, I'm the one who designed all the like imagery on that and everything.
That's fine. So the page we're looking at now looks like there's 1,000 links on the screen. Was that Nuke Lies? Or
no, see that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Okay. There's 1,000 links. And actually I'm not I guess if you can really squint down and read the small text, it's not a bad way to present information. Although I'm not sure how many people can read 6-point text to click the links, but there's got to be 1,000 links on this page.
Well, okay, there's two things, possibilities going on there. There's one that Ray West is in a crazy conspiracy nut, and that's how he thinks. And what I'm going to say is there's a guy named Nico Haupt, and if you look him up, you'll find out who he was. Nico Haupt, Haupt. And I actually know the guy. I met him in New York.
In person?
In person, yeah. And he was cool. I really liked him a lot. He was a really cool guy. But he was nuts. He was nuts because he had gotten so deep into conspiracy that he was – but I think he was a legitimate character, though.
You don't think he was working for the bad guys?
I think Nico, this is not in order to gossip or diss you, Nico, but it's like Nico actually
– I don't think he's alive.
I wouldn't be surprised, but it would sadden me to know.
I apologize. But
no, that's fine. That's fine.
But
my dad's Canadian too. I understand the Canadian mind.
I don't know if it's a Canadian mind. I kind of got this from, I listen to a lot of Howard Stern. And I think
I'm that way too, though. Yeah, you're right. He talks like that.
He cuts people off endlessly. But sometimes people go on and on. And if I don't cut you off, I'm going to forget what I asked or wanted to say.
Yeah, do it. That's fine.
Because a good radio host would make notes, but then it wouldn't fit maybe down the road. The question wouldn't fit in.
Two things about Nico Hopp. Okay, Nico Hopp was crazy. He had driven himself insane with conspiracy theory, okay?
Okay.
And he seemed to be doing it voluntarily, but I don't know. But he had driven himself insane. And also he kind of was trying to fish to see if I was intelligent. And and he was like insinuating, he seemed to be insinuating or suggesting that he would be willing to work for intelligence if I were. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. And he'd flip.
I don't know how to explain that further.
So he's saying you're a good guy. He'd flip for the right bucks.
Oh, wow. Right. Yeah, exactly. He's like, but so when you say, was he intelligent? That means to me that he was intelligent, but he was willing to work for intelligence.
Yeah.
But I'm not intelligent, so there's no way that I could have offered any kind of job.
As we know, there's such a thing called controlled opposition where people give you truth but they act in certain ways that turn other people off. For instance, Alex Jones, he might give us some information, but he makes people that research what we do so crazy looking and so maniacal and so lunatical that outside people are not going to even broach the subject because they don't want to be accused of being like Alex Jones. I mean, we just don't want
to. He's a gatekeeper, yeah. They call that gatekeepers.
Yeah. Controlled opposition, gatekeeper.
Just outright PSYOP, control up like Hal Turner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, but Nico Haupt, number one, he had a thick German accent, pretty hard to understand. He really had to concentrate from what I can remember. He did some, I don't even know what he did that was crazy, but he certainly had the crazy label attached to him, and therefore he wasn't helping truth seekers in my mind.
He yelled at people when he went crazy on like guards at the World Trade Center when they were still closed off. And also I think he got into an altercation with, what's that guy's name that was, we change.org or whatever it's called. Luke Radowski. I think he was associated with him too, or maybe he had an
yes. And Luke has certainly been accused of being opposition.
To tie it back into what I was talking about with Ray and the confusion in terms of textual confusion is that on the forum is that Nico, when he would write emails or comments or whatever, I can't remember if it was emails or comments on forums or whatever, but he would write the most incredibly insane, unreadable gobbledygook. And this is, again, not meant as an insult because I was impressed by Nico. I think he's cool. I like him. But anyways, he would write the most insane gobbledygook.
Yeah.
And I think coming from him, it was legitimate. I don't think that he was like using it or to obfuscate. I keep using the word obfuscate, which I got called out for using on Nuclize Forum, by the way. Because it's, I guess it's too big a word or something. Edmund Matthews didn't like it. But anyways,
I like it. Obfuscate.
I like it too. I like it because it's exactly what they were doing.
Well, is it in the GCHQ handbook? I did look at some document that was listing PSYOP tactics, and I think I remember something like OOPS, OOPS. There's all kinds of different tactics for disorienting and disrupting, and maybe the word obfuscation. I'll define that for all the non-English speaking.
Please.
And not so bright like myself, English speakers of the world. Obfuscation is the obscuring of the intended meaning of communication by making the message difficult to understand, usually with confusing and ambiguous language. The obfuscation might be either unintentional or intentional, although intent usually is connoted, and is accomplished with circumlocution, talking around the subject, the use of jargon, technical language of a profession, and the use of an argot, in-group language, of limited communicative value to outsiders. Okay. Yeah. It's basically just messing around.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not sure if that's really applicable to what Ray was doing, but Ray was basically just, you know, filling Nuclize up with text so that it would confuse people, so that maybe in the hopes that it would turn people off so that when they went to it, because by the time I closed Nuclize, it had like over a million like visitors or hits or whatever, and that was in 2012. So that was pretty good. So that means it was having success, and like on the view counts on forum posts and stuff were really high. So
So you closed it because you lost control of it? Is that what you're saying?
That's what happened was Ray was, you said Jew, that Ray was talking about Jews, and Ray was feeling, I don't know what Jew baiting means. I never really understood what that meant, but I guess Jew baiting just means talking about Jews in order to get people to like talk shit about Jews or say like generalizations that are not, that are unfounded or something. I don't know. Is that what it is?
Well, it's complicated in my mind. It's not an easy, the way I look at it is this. They take a minority in any group in the world, in a country, and in this case it's the world. They take a group that's already a minority, and I think it's a, it goes back to the beginning of time, and they put this minority that's being persecuted for their beliefs, normally, whether it be religious or whatever it is, they put them in positions of power. Who's they? The people that control the money. Whoever is trying to run society. Someone has to be on the top of society. If we're in a money system, it's usually the people with the most money. That's pretty simple, right? We all believe in money in this world. There are very few people that don't. So whoever controls all the money will put a minority in charge, make them the hated ones. And therefore, in exchange for protection, they have to do the dirty work. And I think that's my belief on how Jews have been manipulated over up until this point. So they were always the minority. They're put in positions of power. Therefore, they're the tax collectors. They're the ones everyone loves to hate. But they have to do this job if they want to survive. Because if they stay unprotected in society, then God knows what the uneducated masses could do to them. And that's really the position they've been given. And they were even a whole situation, which we call World War II, World War I, World War II was created to give this minority their own country, which it doesn't even make sense in this globalist world that we would just take one section of society and give them their own area where, to me, most Jews that I know wouldn't want to go there because why would, they're already a target. Why would you want to be a target, an even bigger, more defined target? That seems crazy. And I think that's why so many resisted going there, despite the fact that it was just a desert in the sand. So it's, they've created this perfect situation, the controllers, and some people think it's the Jesuits, the Jews. They've created this situation where they have this minority group that you can't criticize, but they're in positions of power. And I would say the people that put them there brag about it. In other words, we've created this group of untouchables that we can't talk about, that we can't do anything about, and that's the situation we're in. That's how I believe it to be have been done. I might be totally wrong, but that's my belief. So if
I think that there's such a thing as willing scapegoats, and I've said this before, and so you know if there is such a thing as willing scapegoats, then what that means is that if you say something against those scapegoats or by acknowledging that they are willing scapegoats, you're not necessarily saying anything against, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead. You're not necessarily saying anything against them or for them. And I think that,
well, let's put it this way. If you are a minority in any country, and you were given the opportunity just to fight it out on the bottom on your own, or you were offered a position of power where you could be protected, what would you do? I think it's pretty obvious what anyone with half a brain would do. They would take the position of power where they're protected. And I do think it's a divide and rule tactic by people that control things. And it's easy just to say bankers, but it's whoever has all the money.
But the question is who chooses the chosen? That is the question.
Well, it's whoever has all the money, whoever's on the top of this pyramid. That again, it's the money system. We all believe universally in one system. It's called money. We're all working for the same thing. I want a big pile so I can live relatively well. So whoever has all of it has to be in control.
Do they have that same view, the people who actually control the money and who have control of the banks, do they have that same view? Do they actually value money like you say you do?
I think so, because if we all stop believing in money, they just have a big castle and they'll have no one to clean it. Think about it.
Okay, if we all stop, are those people? Are they European royalty? Are they the Vatican? Are they the Jesuits? Are they the Jews?
I don't think it's any one group. It can't be. I don't think they don't have a place where they all get together and meet. That would be crazy. They are as decentralized.
What about Bilderberg and all that?
Well, I think those are just places where some people that are at some level get together, and it doesn't make sense for it to be a central place where we could all just go and raise our fists and put up big signs. I would say the richest, wealthiest of the world are pretty decentralized, and they're probably from many walks of life. I'm not sure how you could get into the trillionaires or quadrillionaires club. I'm not sure exactly, but I would say that money does get passed down over the generations. They don't lose their money necessarily in any significant way, but I'll be damned if they don't try their best to, their everyday worry is to keeping all of it or holding on to it. But I don't think there is a central group.
But what about CERN? What about the people in charge of CERN and that devil worshipping serum, or what the thing that they're calling a devil worshipping?
Yeah, I don't want to get too far off what we're here for, but because my opinions are no more valid than anyone else's.
Well,
it's pertinent
because if there's no central group that is above money and then controlling money, and that there then how are they able to orchestrate order out of chaos? Because this current era that we're in right now is obviously a designed chaos. Okay. But the question is, who's designing it? Is it like Lucifer himself designing it? Or is it some sort of cabal? Or I've heard it called the Great White Brotherhood, right? Mm.
I really don't think there is any one label that you can apply. I think it's probably a pretty loose. I don't think it's Bill Gates. I don't think it's George Soros.
Bill Gates is a low end player.
Yeah, I think the people that have all the money with the 50 layers of corporations where you cannot get to a name. There's no way you could get through those layers of paperwork. You can't get to a name. They're just some of, whether it's 13, 300, 1300, 10,000 families.
Bloodlines, Merovingians.
I just don't think that there is one central group, one central meeting place. It's not the Jews. It's not the Jesuits. Not the Vatican.
Then tell me what's happening. I want to know what's happening, because if you think that it's definitely decentralized, then how is it possible that these ages of Taurus, ages of Pisces, whatever, come to an end at 2012, and then suddenly there is an apocalypse, there is revelations, there is chaos.
I don't know. Well, I don't know any of that.
There is chaos from which order can be born. How is that designed? Is it a natural cycle? Is it the collective psyche, the oversoul of all humanity?
That's way above my pay grade. I don't have a flipping clue.
I don't know, honestly.
How do corporations endure over time? Because corporations a lot of them do. They go hundreds of years, some of them. Some of the ones that are really able to roll with the changes. They're constantly changing. They're not one person. A corporation is no more me than it's the guy that I work with. It's just a collection of like-minded people that get together. We all are working for the same cause, and that's to keep our company or our corporation surviving from one to the other. But
like British India or something?
I'm just talking about whatever company you might work for. You know, Walmart.
Well,
how does it keep going?
An old corporation, I think of Coca-Cola.
Years old or whatever. Hey, I tell you how tell you how they survive. It's not one guy. Every now and then they get a really good leader that can really grow the company. Maybe he grows the debt at the same time. Maybe the debt knocks the whole thing over. But it's just a group of people. There's no grand conspiracy. Yeah, they conspire every day to keep the company going and earning profit. I heard the latest conspiracy at Coca-Cola is they're now getting into alcohol. Good move.
Really?
Everyone's moving away from soda pop, so you got to move. Yeah, things don't stay the same year after year after year. If you stay the same, you're going to be dead the next year if you're a corporate. You got to keep moving. Yeah, they're getting into alcohol now, so go get your Coke, Jack Daniels. But we're getting kind of off the topic here because this is where things just get airy-fairy, and I'm just trying to sing your praises for Nuke Lies and, of course, whatever was before Big Lies, NukeLies.org forum.
Well, I think there is only one topic, and that's basically what's at the top. I really do. I think that's the true question that, like, you're talking about how Alex Jones, is a gatekeeper.
I think that opposition. Have you ever made it to the end of a rainbow?
What makes Alex Jones not a valuable contributor to the truth movement, despite all the work that he's done for it?
Well, he probably scares more people away than he brings in.
Well, with his bombastic voice.
Yeah.
I should talk, but with his bombastic
voice. No, you're not like him.
No, but the reason he's not a valid contributor to the truth movement is because he doesn't hit at the heart of.
Yeah, that's true.
The issue, which is the question, who chooses the chosen, okay? Who chooses the chosen? And when I say the chosen, I mean Freemasons too. Cause I mean anybody who considers themselves illuminated or not part of the Goyim, you know?
Yeah. No, I agree.
Yeah. I think it's entirely the question for us to ask. I think it's the main focus of any conspiracy show or any.
Well,
kind of
it's thing. Not a question I get too I don't get too bogged down in because, It's like chasing your tail. I can't prove.
Yeah,
it's
I
like asking, prove there's a God. Well, you prove there isn't a God. We could go around in circles for days. That's what I think the beauty of the controllers is. And that's why we can never get to the controllers because there isn't an address. We can't go to an address and say, you guys are running things. If you don't smarten up, we're going to burn your place down. It's highly decentralized. It's almost like the internet. You can't end the internet. If you know the architecture of the internet, it's a giant spider web. In other words, a spider web is built so if one piece of the web is blown out, then the spider can still catch things because the web.
You know how they, you know how much they, you know how they get that kind of control and that kind of power is by trusting in their God fully and by being as positive as is physically possible, as spiritually possible. I think that the controllers do know the value of positivity to the extent that they're able to become sort of embodiments of positivity itself. And so they become the sort of male aspect of humanity in my estimation, where they're pushing humanity forward with the word progress, you know, with progress. And so I think that they are enlightened beings in as much as they claim to be. But I think that they willfully take the extreme and accept their role in the world as extremists because they know that it's the way forward for humanity. And I think in that sense, they kind of sacrifice themselves for humanity. But I think the downside to it is that they're willing to basically sacrifice everything. And I think that's where kind of Moloch comes in. And you think I'm going all over the place, but I don't think I am.
Let's just take a quick break where I like to promote the fact that we are independent media and. If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support. And I don't make a living begging for money, but I do think that if you don't support independent media, maybe people that live off their websites or their media performances, that you should support them. And in a small way, coffee money, if 1,000 people gave a dollar, then that's a lot of money for one person for 1 month. And I just play that because I know people, and I am grateful for the many people that have sent donations. I'm more grateful, actually, for people that make contributions, whether it be audio or contribute to the comment section. Or, Jesse, we have something called Fakeopedia, which is a resource like Wikipedia, or Wikidpedia, as we call it, where they put psyops and hoaxes in for people to search.
That's cool. Yeah, very cool. I was looking at it.
So people that contribute there, hey, if that's what your interest is, I'd rather take that over even a dollar a month. That is fantastic. Or if you come on the audio chat and just do performances or do explanations, even better. But if you are not at all into being creative like that and you just have money, well, we'll take that too. But that is not the focus. It's really just encouragement. And I get encouraged when people like Jesse come to the site. We can just talk because that means we're on the right track. Let me just play a little bit more of your video here. Nuke Live.
But what were they really watching? They couldn't rewind a videotape or rescan through a video on their computer. So what option did they have but to accept these images at their face value? Now we have opportunity to scrutinize these images to see if they hold up to analysis. Take a look at these trees. Now what was that? And who turned the camera? They're in awfully straight lines, aren't they? Now this must be a different blast because it's coming from a different direction. Wait, now they've put it back. But those are the same trees we saw in the first clip, aren't they? And now this. First they showed us these trees that they panned left on. Then they show us these trees that...
So Jesse, where did you get the idea to... Where did you find these videos and why did you decide to do a video about it?
Well, I had started a podcast in like 2006 called TurnSpeak.
Oh, really?
And I remember I did a show about nuclear bombs, I think, questioning nuclear bombs. And then also I interviewed the guy, Mike, who was named Control CTRL, who was the guy who had founded Conspiracy Central. Do you know that website? It's still online. It's changed a lot.
No, not really.
It's consen.org, consen.org. It's a tracker for conspiracy videos. And it's still going.
Consen.org.
But it was really big back then. And it was really big back then. I had Mike and then this guy named Ognier, who's Noel Ryan, who is not a very nice person, so I'm not even going to actually plug him any further than saying that. But anyways, so Consen, and I remember asking, and I, you know what, on that same show I had Henrik Palmgren from Red Ice, who's changed his focus now. But
how do you spell that? Consen, C O N.
Consen is C O N C E C E N C O N C E N .org.
Oh, Consen. Okay, Consen. Okay, I got that.
Good though. I hope it keeps going.
Are there any archives of your TurnSpeak website or your audio?
I think there. There are a few of them around, like several of the shows that I did about this cult that I grew up in called Self-Realization Fellowship.
You grew up in a cult?
In California, yeah, one of those kind of hippie cults and stuff. Not the worst one. It has some definitely positive sides to it. It was devoted to the guru Paramahansa Yogananda. Who's
are you California? Were you born in California?
Yeah, I'm Californian. My dad's from Ontario. My mom's from Michigan. But I'm
hold on a sec. Where in Ontario is he from?
St. Catharines.
St. Catharines.
My grandfather used to live. My grandfather just died a couple of years ago, but he lived right on the water in Niagara on the Lake.
Yeah.
So when you said you're on the north shore of. Yeah. The lake.
I know
the south shore.
I go there all the time. I know exactly where it is. Niagara on the Lake. I took a video of the Lake Ontario from pretty much, not Niagara on the Lake. It was down in Port Dalhousie. Where was your mother from in Michigan?
Gladwin, which is right in the middle of Michigan. It's a farm town. it's a cute little like American old Main Street town, you know.
My mother was born in Michigan too. That's why I'm
no
American.
Way, really?
Yeah, we have a lot in common.
You got the same makeup then as I do.
Yeah, my mother. That's I'm cool. looking at Gladwin. That is just near the base of the finger, if Michigan is a thumb
yeah.
of the index finger. Because right. yeah, we have family in Port Huron, or we used to.
Yeah, that's not too far, is it?
No, Port Huron is directly east of there.
Yeah.
At the border. Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. Isn't that amazing? And so they got together and you ended up being born in California, eh?
Exactly. Yeah, they met in Saginaw. And,
Saginaw, Michigan. Yeah.
Saginaw, which is sung about by Simon Garfunkel.
Okay, yeah.
Big psyop. And yeah. Simon and Garfunkel is like the worst psyop because it's such really, really good music. You know?
Psyop and Garfunkel?
Psyop and Garfunkel.
Well, all Garfunkel could do is play the tambourine and harmonize. What use was he anyway? Any bad
hair?
He
has a good voice, though.
He
has a heart-wrenching voice. Yeah, he does. Yeah,
yeah I do. I do like music.
He has a song that is popular in the UK but isn't really popular as much in the US that I know of, called Bright Eyes. And it's the most saddest song because it's, I think they played it in Watership Down. But,
is that right? Wow, you're telling me a lot of things. That was one of the only books, I ever was read to, as a teacher. A teacher read me Watership Down and god damn, that's a nasty, book.
I don't get why that book was promoted. It was so depressing. But it's an amazing cartoon, though.
Oh, I see. I'm just looking at... what am I looking at here? I guess this is Watership Down, and this is the song.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, don't play it. It kills me.
Oh, really?
No, go ahead.
I just want to hear a tiny bit. It's coming through okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a similar sound to Cat Stevens, I guess. I guess that was the sound of the day. You know, Cat Stevens?
Yeah, my dad liked Cat Stevens. I think he was my dad's favorite.
Yeah, he was a good one. Is that music in minor key? Because I love music in minor key.
I think it's gotta be.
Yeah.
I think it's gotta be.
I just started listening to Ruel. You know Ruel?
R-U-E-L-L-E.
The only reason I found Ruel is because there's a 9/11 Television series coming out, and she's on the soundtrack, and apparently this is what she does for a living, put her music into TV soundtracks and whatever you want to call them, Netflix soundtracks. But here we go again. We're getting diverted here. How did we get down this path? So you're born into a cult in California.
Berkeley. I was born in Berkeley, California, which is still the epicenter of leftism worldwide, pretty much.
Right.
They call it the People's Republic of Berkeley.
And
so I was steeped in everything leftist.
And hippie.
Everything. Although my parents, interestingly and ironically, were never leftists. They voted Republicans. And they
of
were
course.
Republican hippies, if you can believe that.
I can believe anything.
And they still are. But,
what was the name of that cult that was going to the moon?
With
Doe as the leader?
Oh, Moonies, maybe?
No. It's the one where the guy was bald and I don't know. I think he neutered all the male members. And the leader's name was...
Are you talking about that one in San Diego where they committed suicide?
Yeah, they all do in the end, don't they?
Yeah. I made a movie that was influenced by that, actually.
Leader was Doe. I remember the name Doe. Heaven's Gate, that's it. Here we go.
That's what I'm talking about, yeah. I made a movie called Autopia, if anybody's interested. Look up my movie Autopia, Autopia, and there's part of it where all these faces, it's my own face as a mask on the actors. And that's kind of, it was inspired somehow by that Heaven's Gate mass suicide thing. But anyways, okay, so.
Autopia is a Disneyland attraction.
It is. But it's also a Jesse Wall movie. Thank you very much.
Wow. But, you're talented, okay. Jesse Wall. Let me look that up.
I'm dropping
links all creative. Over the place here. If you, here we go. Is it 5 minutes?
Oh, don't watch the whole thing.
Is it five minutes?
Can people see this or can they only
No, they can't see. Oh, they can just hear.
Okay. All right. Well,
I'm dropping links in the live stream show notes only. Nihilism. Oh, you got the nuke thing in there.
Yeah, I just realized that it actually, you know, is tied into this topic.
Wow.
Yeah, that's interesting, yeah. It's a conversation. I want to get back to talking about nuke life, but it's a conversation in between me and a choir of angels that have my face as their masks, right?
Oh, and this is deep,
and,
Jesse.
We're discussing. Listen to this. We're discussing annihilation by nuclear bombs.
Good Lord!
Which is really interesting. And I wrote it when I was in a sick stupor in Goa, India, when I was like kind of dying of malaria or something. And it was actually automatic writing to an extent. Like it was flowing. It wasn't automatic writing, but it was flowing through me from. I would say God. Jeez. And I was writing these lines, and it's a poem, but it's a conversation between myself and a choir of angels, and it pertains to nuclear.
Why is it you artist types? You're always the one that can see through all the bullshit. It's quite amazing. What is it? We also have one of the other people that I would say saved many, many lives in the world, and that's Simon Shack for creating September Clues. Another artist type, free type spirit. What is it about you guys? You can just see through all the crap and get right to it.
Well, to an extent, I don't believe personally in division of labor among different types. But and on the other hand, I guess I have to accept that people do have, we all have our limitations. And I think that the artist as it's currently incarnated in our industrial society or post-industrial society is a shaman character. It's basically, we are shamans, you know, and I've never called myself that. This is the first time I've ever called myself that. But, I think that that's probably what like sort of pigeonhole I could fall into, except that shamans are the only ones that were the wild card, were the jokers that don't actually can't be pigeonholed, you know, we're the X factor, you know? So, but I do think that I kind of am like that. I just kind of have realized it over the years. But that doesn't mean it's good or bad. In fact, it's bad in some ways because shamans are outcasts. You know,
yeah,
we're priests, but we're outcasts as well. We don't fit into any kind of social structure whatsoever. Yeah. And there are big benefits to fitting into social structures.
Yeah. So, well, you can pay your taxes.
You're asking about it, so I'm explaining what I think about it.
Well, do you have brothers and sisters?
I do not. I'm an only child, and that's definitely relevant to my personality and my whole worldview. You know?
Amazing. And you're somewhere in Europe right now. Do you want to identify
where
you are?
I'm in Barcelona. Yeah.
Barcelona. Wow. Yeah. So you're.
Yeah, it's pretty. Yeah.
You are. So how do you as a working stiff all my life? I just do this for fun. But how do you make a living? How do you survive?
It's definitely falls in line with the whole shaman thing.
Yeah.
You could call it shaman, you could call it priest.
Yeah.
You could call it vagabond, like as a Krishna.
Well, I
was just thinking about that today.
I interviewed the radio vagabond. He sold everything.
Oh, really?
Is doing radio broadcasts all around the world. But,
or you can call it artist.
He babysits houses now. That's how he stays in places.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's something to look into. Not a bad idea, actually.
I'm not personally a hippie. I don't do that myself. I can't do it.
Can you make money as a shaman? How do you pay the rent?
Well, how does anybody pay the rent? Basically, just sort of.
I work my ass off. That's how I do it.
That gets into sort of personal.
Okay. No, it's okay. I'm just trying to get a background. No. I don't need.
No, I think I'll just answer. I'll answer by saying this: how do priests make money?
I don't know.
Well,
I don't give it to them.
Anybody who knows that or wants to find out, then that's how. That's all right. Shamans make money as well, because shamans are priests, you know.
No, I understand. So if I wanted, could you read the lines on my hand?
Not at all.
I'm not trying to insult you. I'm just trying to get a read.
Okay, so wait, let me get back to Nicholas. Okay,
all right,
so
yeah, that's why you're here.
I did this show in 2006.
What's it called again?
Control. It was called TurnSpeak, which is a really good name, if I do say so myself. TurnSpeak.
Well, TeamSpeak is what I used to use here for my Discord, for my audio server, TeamSpeak. So yours is TurnSpeak, Jesse Waugh. I want to hear some of these audios. I love going back in the archives.
I'm going to put them on archive.org.
Okay.
A lot of them are already out there. I think all of them might be out there already. But TurnSpeak is a little used term that means basically if you're guilty of something. No, if I'm guilty of something, then I make it out to be that you're guilty of it, and then that's TurnSpeak. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Say that again.
Yeah,
I was just reading the form.
If I'm guilty of something, I make it out that you're guilty of it.
All right, that's I am rubber, people. You are glue. Whatever I say bounces off me and sticks to you.
Well, no, that's a banishing like spell. Okay. That's different. But okay.
Okay, so you are accusing me of what you say, of what you're doing.
That's turn speak. Yeah,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
So I had the guy that started Constant. I had another guy that I'm not going to say his name again. And then I had Henrik Palmgren from Red Ice on the same show. And I was asking them about Nuklize.
Yeah.
And none of them really were into it. Like they were like they couldn't conceive the fact that maybe nuclear bombs didn't exist. So that
suspicious.
It was suspicious. But that built up for me into the need to make a video about this question. So that's why I made Nuklize.
Mm-hmm.
And that got some traction. Huh?
Do you believe in nuclear science?
Let's get into – okay, let me just finish this little story about the nuke things, and then I'll get that out of the way. Then I really want to talk about that. I want to talk about Ray West.
No, there's so much to talk about. You're definitely gonna have to come back if you're interested.
Sure I will. Yeah.
Yeah, because we could talk. You're one of those guys I could talk to all day.
I've got my dad's Canadian gift of gab too, so that helps.
Canadians are usually quiet though. I thought it was Americans that had the big mouth.
No, I think Canadians are actually, number one, much better speakers than common Americans are.
Yeah.
Common Canadians are.
Yeah.
Much better speakers. So I'm glad that
Americans are way friendlier.
That much from some of that from my dad, I would hope. I'm not saying I did, but anyways.
Is he still alive?
Yeah. He's in India. My parents are in India.
India? Oh my God.
Yeah. They're hippies. And they're also they belong to a Hindu religion or cult, depending on what you want to call it.
Yeah. An ashram?
Yeah, they live near an ashram. They have a house near an ashram.
Oh, okay, because I listen to a guy named
Babaji's cave in the foothills in the Himalayas. Yeah,
Babaji, that's one of my favorite Supertramp songs.
Is it? I'll have to listen to that.
Do you know that one?
No, but if it's Supertramp, it's probably entertaining. So I'll listen.
Well, it's actually Roger Hodgson's. It's his song, but you know, there's two guys, and it's always a dialectic, right?
Okay, so
we could go all over the place.
I got that video online. It went viral for the time.
Yeah.
Got a lot of flack on it, but whatever. And then I started the Nuklize Forum, got a lot of traction on it. Ray West got on board as a moderator, was very helpful, but also very destructive. Ended up co-opting the entire site with I would call it like artificially anti-Semitic, like, you know, tripe, I think, in a lot of sense, in a lot of ways. In other words, he just filled the entire site with, like, the word Jew, basically.
Yeah.
And then so it just got to the point where, see, I have I do other things. Like, I'm always doing different kinds of projects. And, like, and I'm what I suppose could be called an artist, which is just a label, but I guess I can call myself that. And so I had other things to concentrate on. In fact, I was going to, I went to India and China and Japan for like artistic industrial type business trips, basically. And so I didn't have time to like babysit Ray and to combat him, because it was getting to the point where I was literally having to combat him because he can get really arrogant. And he's so arrogant and condescending sometimes, but especially if you're American, oh my gosh.
I think we just call that British.
Yeah, well, hey, you know, I'm not going to deny that. But so it got to the point where I just said, fuck it, excuse my French. I don't know if I'm allowed to swear, but I said, I just had to call it all off. I had to say, okay, I'm going to cut this off. So one day I just took the whole forum offline, and that was it. Yeah. Ray freaked out pretty much, and he's like, what's happened? Jesse got caught by the CIA or something. Uh-huh. Jesse's like been silenced. He's been kidnapped. Where's Jesse Walk? I went silent for a week or two because I didn't want to deal with Ray because he had taken over the whole freaking, you know.
No, I understand. That's the problem when you have co-authors, and this always happens with these situations when you have co-founders, co-authors. They get disenchanted and one guy goes his own way and then it just derails. That happens a lot.
Yeah, it does happen a lot, but that doesn't mean that Ray, but that doesn't mean Ray West is not an MI5 agent. Let me get into that a little bit. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Well, I don't want to get into any kind of slander on the radio just because he's not here.
It's not slander. It's not slander. It's, I don't think it would be slander to accuse someone of being an MI5 agent. I'm not saying like bad words about him, and I'm not talking about his mother or anything.
Okay. You know?
But so what I did was, after Ray was like kind of freaked out about that, what I did for him was I think I must have put it in Dropbox or somehow transferred the entire forum offline file, right?
Mm-hmm.
Folder or whatever to him so that he could archive it. Because I don't hate the guy, and I appreciated his help, although I did not like what he did to the forum. And I've told him all this stuff, so I'm not gossiping. Yeah. But so he ended up getting Big Lies. It had been on nukelies.org. Now it's on biglies.org. He archived the entire forum. It's sort of a dead archive, I think. I don't think he adds to it. But it's good because it's searchable. So everything that was written about that is all archived. And that's the end of the main story for Nukelize. The only thing that's happened since then is that Ray has gone on to interviews. And I have heard him interviewed. I'm not sure if it was on your show or.
Yeah, he was on mine.
I think that – I know – yeah, you said he was on yours. I heard him on – I think he's been on a couple shows.
Okay.
And what he does is, and this is where it gets into why I think he actually is an intelligence operative, because I think he's using like tactics in order to direct information where he wants it to be. And what I'm saying is that he tries to claim that there's this guy named Roger Desjardins.
Yeah, I've heard Canadian of that. Roger Desjardins. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Canadian guy, and I think he's in Toronto too.
No, he was in Montreal or something. I think we tried to call the guy. I was going to bring that up because I wanted to talk to anyone else in the entire world who thought that nuclear power was fake. I just wanted to talk to someone about it. I wasn't trying to really what's wrong with talking. But
I tried to talk to him again, but he's incredibly difficult to talk to. He's basically on.
Well, he thinks he's another guy that thinks everyone's a Jewish agent or something, isn't he?
Yeah, well, I don't know. But, yeah, he was – I did get negative vibes from trying to contact
him. Oh, yeah, I don't remember.
I him or not.
Yeah, I think I emailed him or something, or I can't remember, but it ended badly. It went nowhere.
Yeah, yeah, he was negative to me too, so. But Ray West tries to pawn Roger Desjardins off, or however you say it, off
Desjardins.
As the – what Ray West calls the godfather of – nuclear revisionism.
And
he tries to, what he's trying to do is he tries to diminish my role in it. And I don't necessarily care whether I'm known as the guy who broke the story or not. But on the same note, I don't want to be, you know, written off either, because that's just an insult. So, you know, when Ray West goes on and tries to like form a narrative that is not the actual story, It does bother me. Okay. And I'm trying to say that without getting egocentric, because I'm not trying to be egocentric about it. I'm not trying to claim any kind of authority or originality. Okay. But I do want the story to be straight, just like I want any story to be straight, just like I want the story of nuclear bombs to be straight, which is that they're a hoax. Okay. I want the truth out there. And the truth is that I did something and I'm glad that I did it. And it's part of the story. Right.
Well, you still have the most important work out there.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Oh, man. There's no doubt. And again, I can't believe nothing else has been really developed since your groundbreaking video. I do my little canary in the coal mine, but nobody listens to me. And I don't have a video. I don't have a YouTube channel anymore, by the way. And anyone who sees my name as a YouTube channel, those are imposters. So you've heard it here first. This is the only, I don't have a YouTube channel. I have FakeTube now, my own video server. That's it. And that's why I put Nuke Lies over there, because I'm trying to keep videos that I think are important from being washed off the internet. So I have personally got you hosted on FakeTube.
Well, that's the issue though. It's regardless of whether my video, the concept that nuclear bombs don't exist is extreme still, even in today's Trump land, you know, in Trump world, you know, the myth of nuclear bombs is still the cornerstone of world power, even though I think there's millions of people that are questioning the existence of nuclear bombs now, at least in the back of their head. They're thinking, wait, well, if nuclear bombs exist, why hasn't one gone off in the past, you know, however many decades, you know? Why haven't there many gone off?
There's an answer for every question like that. They have always plausible deniability stories around all those questions, because it's too dangerous, because we already know the devastating damage, because we've had this going, because we've had this monitor, because. But can we get into questioning all of nuclear science? Can we go right back to the beginning with Madame Curie and uranium, and Canada has a huge role in this, what I think is a global scam, where they basically label rocks as holding mythical power if we do certain alchemist things to them, and then they become what they call radioactive and give off unlimited powers with endless half-lives. What do you think of nuclear science?
I think Einstein was a complete hack. I think he's totally fake. I don't think anything that came out of that person's mouth was of any value whatsoever. He was there to promote the concept of relativity, and that's that. I think that E equals MC square is full of Masonic
isn't Madame Curie before Einstein? The invention?
Madame Curie, I mean, radioactivity.
That's the cornerstone, if you want to use a Masonic term, of the whole hoax. Sure. It goes right back to this idea that there are atoms and electrons, and we have magic rocks that if we do a certain, I can't even remember the process anymore, enrich them rather, then we can make them have unlimited power and heat and rods. I think the whole thing is alchemy. Yeah. I think it's all alchemy.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Of course it's alchemy, definitely.
Which means it's fake.
Whether it's wrong is another issue. I don't personally have any issue with atoms, you know, just the existence of some sort of basic particle.
It's a model.
It does sort of lend itself to the idea of like the wall, like as in Pink Floyd, like you know, like this industrial construct of masonry, exactly, because masonry. I mean,
but like I said, I had no problem taking from your video, Nuke Lies, that nuclear bombs are most likely fake, and what we see is just TNT, lots of it blowing up, and there are no everlasting detrimental effects to human life. And then I went back to nuclear science, and I thought that that was all based on alchemy, and it's all just mythological beliefs, myths. And then, as I said, in Toronto, our whole city is right beside one of the oldest nuclear power plants in Canada, And most people are still afraid of it. It's actually, at least for the longest time, depressed the prices of residences around that area. But if you believe that nuclear science is fake, then nuclear power is probably one worldwide giant fraud scam as well. And that's
a
relief.
I have something. I have what may is probably the answer to that query.
Go ahead.
And that was actually the biggest topic on nuke lies after nuclear bombs themselves was, you're talking about those big nuclear plant things like on the beginning of The Simpsons, right?
Well, yeah, I don't watch The Simpsons, but yeah, those are called cooling towers.
Those were cooling towers, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, the theory that was going around, and this was put forth by not Ray, but the other guy, I can't remember his name, he was really cool, but anyways, and Ray too, actually. They put out this theory that those are what they called dump load kettles.
Yeah.
Dump load kettles, right?
Yeah, I like that.
Okay. Yeah. And what dump load kettles refers to is electricity companies. And this actually is relevant to you because you know how there's that huge hydroelectric plant in Niagara?
Of course.
Right. So the theory of the dump load kettle theory is that let's say you have a huge hydroelectric plant. Sorry, I'm tired. It's like 9 or something. My tongue's not working anymore. But let's say there's a huge hydroelectric plant producing just an enormous amount of electricity, right? And so that's enough electricity to power all of New York State, let's say, and more. Let's say it's enough electricity to power all of New England and all of southeastern Canada, okay?
Sure.
Right. Now – is that going to be good for the electric company? No, because it's going to make electricity dirt cheap, practically free. In fact, free, right?
Well, so actually, Ontario Hydro was built around the idea. And if you can go to downtown Toronto and go see a statue of Sir Adam Beck at the base of his feet, it says power at cost. That was the whole reason they built this collective to distribute electricity in Ontario, where I live, at cost. That's the whole idea of a public power.
Yeah, but how long do you think that lasted? How long do you think
5 minutes?
Exactly. So that's the point, is that nuclear cooling towers are actually dump load kettles for excessive electricity in order to maintain artificial scarcity.
I like that. Yeah, yeah, I totally buy that. I've always said nuclear power plants either do absolutely nothing, or that's a very good theory that the power, if you could actually see the direction of power, the net direction of power, you would see that power is going into the plants and just heating up electrical elements, boiling water, cooling.
Boiling water, that's what the steam comes from. They're just wasting electricity. They're using excessive electricity in order to maintain artificial scarcity so that you have to pay high electric bills. So if that doesn't make sense, I don't know what is. So that was the biggest
discussion on
nuke lies after nuclear bombs. And that was extremely valuable. And if anybody wants to read about that, type in dump load kettles into a search engine or go to biglies.org, which is Ray's site. So getting back to Ray and Edmund Matthews, what Edmund Matthews did was he did post a few times on nuke lies.org, a nuke lies forum. Okay. And he would make he was a little bit insulting to me. And then what he would also do was he made videos on YouTube. You were talking about why there are no videos. He made videos, put them on YouTube, but they were the most confusing long form nonsensical videos that you could imagine. Like, for example, in comparison to my nuke lies videos, which is a few minutes long and it's concise, his videos were like, you know, a half an hour long maybe. And he would just ramble on endlessly talking nonsense over obscure footage of maybe nuclear related topics. Okay. So he was deliberately trying to obfuscate and confound. Okay. And are you still there?
Yeah. Go.
Yeah. Okay. And then so what I think has been happening is that first of all, I do think it's grown. I think nuclear skepticism, as it were, has grown probably exponentially. And I think that the seeds that were planted by myself and other people in the mid-2000s have grown into trees. And I think that those trees are bearing fruit. And I think that people really are questioning en masse, at least in small masses, the existence of nuclear bombs. But Edmund Matthews did everything he could in order to thwart that. But Ray did even more, okay? And what Ray's done is he messed up Nuklei's forum. Mm-hmm. He co-opted Nuklei's video. Okay. He made his own videos too. He was smarter about it than Edmund Matthews because Ray made videos that actually did question, nuclear bombs, the existence of atomic and nuclear bombs, but he did it in a sly way. He didn't, in order to just make it all a big jumble. That's what he did. That's what he did. Mm-hmm. Ray made nuclear revisionism, nuclear skepticism into a jumble. That was his job and he was good at it. Okay. Mm. And so there's the two answers that I would give as to why.
And he laced it with the Jew.
Widespread
Jew talk. Sorry. Jew baiting. He laced it with Jew talk.
And the Jew just, baiting. The
that
Jew
is,
baiting.
That's exactly. Far worse. Actually.
Yeah.
It makes it, even if he's right, which I doubt, he makes it into
a witch hunt.
Well, no, you just can't talk about it. Our society is built around the idea that you cannot, number one, you can't point out any group unless they're Muslim at the moment. You know, Muslims are the enemies of the day. Exactly. But if you just label any group, you're just anti this or anti that. And we just can't talk that way. Even if it's true, but I don't think it is.
Well, no, but my policy on nuclei, which I spent clearly, and I've repeated it elsewhere, it was that you could talk about Jews, but you had to name names.
Yeah, use names instead
of groups.
If you're
not going to name names, then you're just talking shit.
Yes.
You know? So.
No, so, I agree.
And that's what he did. That's what he did to mess up the forum. And he succeeded. But you know what, Ray? You didn't succeed at quelling mass awakening on the topic of nuclear skepticism and nuclear revisionism, Ray. You did not succeed. I'm sorry. So I'm glad that you tried. It was great. You know, you can get your pat on the back from your superiors at the MI5.
Okay.
But you didn't win. I'm sorry, Ray. You didn't win.
I think there's far fewer paid agents than one might imagine. There might be, but I think there's a lot of people that we discuss this at length and many audio chats. We have audio chats here at fakeologist.com where anyone can come into the audio chat, including yourself now that you're a verified voice. And there are many discussions on whether there are any paid agents at all. I think just the idea that Cass Sunstein brought up maybe in some speech a long time ago, 20 years or a paper where they are give the idea that agents go into forums to disrupt them. I think it's totally possible. It does make sense. You could call it hoax management in a way. They have to steer the conversation, social engineering, what propagander A.A. Morris talks about. So someone has to steer the ship. It can't be rudderless. So I do believe that there has to be some guidance coming from somewhere on what we talk about and how we steer conversations.
Yeah, but you're getting into the truth of it is that it's culture creation. Mm-hmm. And so it's not about just some, FBI agent who's like a sort of office monkey, like sitting at his desk, his computer, who hates you for telling the truth, like being militant about his, attack on you on forums. It's more like you're saying, guided, mm-hmm. Like Susan Sarandon, she said like something about culture creation. She mentioned that in one of her speeches or something like that. And that's because she heard that term from somebody, So places like the obvious ones, like the Tavistock Institute, that's what they're about. They're about culture manipulation and culture creation. And like, if you look at like Brave New World, what's one of the characters? One of the characters, writes what he calls jingles, right? Which are, pop
slogans,
songs.
Slogans, jingles.
Pops,
yeah.
It was pop songs, I think. So everything feeds into this thing. And there are more, a sort of abruptly, manipulative people, like I think Ray West was. Mm-hmm. I think that he was my handler, or he considered himself my handler.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, I think that that's what his job, his task was to steer the thing in the direction that he needed it to steer for the powers that be, you know.
No, I understand. And it's a danger when you let in co-moderators. I get flack all the time. I have a few people helping me on the forum, and I'm grateful, and most of them I think are fine. But I always get accused, well, this guy's disrupting, and it's hard to tell. I give my forum a lot of energy. It does take, as a hobby, a lot of extra work, a lot of spare time, because I have to really watch what comes on there, because it's all, in the end, attributed to me. But I do have a disclaimer that I don't control every aspect of every portion of my website. For instance, I have Fakeopedia. I got two people that are really keen on it. I haven't read most of it, so I can't say that I'm responsible for it, other than I've created the platform for people to go in. I'm not saying I agree with every entry. I can't, because I'm just one person, and these things can explode, as you know, into huge, huge texts. But yeah. I'm happy to just lend my technical expertise. But I don't endorse everything, and I certainly don't want to say I'm responsible, and that's why I don't think any common carrier or any website should necessarily be responsible for the information on it. If you just put a disclaimer that this is not, doesn't represent every one of my views, I think it's insane. There's no way that any internet service provider, any hosting provider, even Discord, they should not be held liable for what's on it, because it's an impossible job. How can you curate every word on every server that you run? I think it's insane.
Yeah. Well, but the thing is, yes, you can give people leeway for their opinions, and you can recognize that people have different personalities, et cetera. But you can also recognize patterns. And if somebody's really just basically, people can prove that they are out to do a certain thing. You can read people's motives in patterns. So,
that's true.
Sometimes you can tell people are actually there to either manipulate, destroy, or drive. Yeah, or drive in a certain direction.
After all, fakeologists, researchers, all we do is look for patterns, and we look for patterns of fakery. Right. Really, we don't have any proof. Right. I don't have any proof that this
is
fake.
Intuition.
I have intuition. Yes, yeah. And I study it. I consider myself a professor of fakeology. I think just by the fact that I put in the time, I put in 6 years. That's a degree. That's a master's degree.
Right.
And I don't care if there's no one really advising me. This is all, I take everyone like yourself as advisors. You're all, and I just curate it. That's all I do. So I think that's enough.
It's about believing your own ability to learn too.
Yeah.
It's like this, I forgot the name of the Gnostic Media podcast on YouTube or show or whatever.
Jan Irving. Yeah.
He espouses this thing he calls the trivium method, which I think holds water, which is basically that, you know, basically I think the gist of it is if you read about something or learn about something, you can trust your own mind to decide whether it's true or not, you know. And I think that's what, you know, you're doing with learning about conspiracies. That's what I've done, and I think that we need to trust our own intuition, you know.
Well, let me ask, I have many audio rooms on the Fakeologist Discord server, and one of them is the green room, and I've told people that if they want to come into the main show live stream, that they should go in the green room, and then I'll bring them into the main show live stream. So I have four people in there now. I'm pretty sure they know that the green room is the waiting room for the main show. So I've got four people. That may mean that they want to talk to you. I think that's what it means. And I don't know who came in first. They're all on mute. And now, people are listening live to the live stream at Fakeologist Radio 2, which is at bit.ly/fakeradio2. So now I have six people in the green room, so maybe that delay has gotten out, so people maybe want to ask you a question. So let me bring, I'm going to bring in A.A. Morris, who I've never talked to before. He does a fantastic podcast called The Propagander. If you've never heard of that, Jesse, go to fakeologist.com.
I have heard of that somewhere. Yeah, I have heard of that. Yeah.
So let me see if I can drag him in. This Discord is screwing up today. My whole screen is just acting up. Let's see if I can bring him into the main show live stream. Can you hear me, AA? Oh, rats. My whole screen is just drag. How much time do you got, Jesse?
No, I'm fine, dude. I'm fine. I'm just glad I can still hear you because it has cut off like several times.
Oh, has it?
If you would call me. If I go silent, don't hang up on me.
No, no, I'm not going silent.
Me or texting me or whatever.
I'm just having issues dragging people into this room. Let me bring, I'm trying to bring one guy in, but it's just not working right now. My drag and drop is acting up. Let me just pause here and log out of this stupid Discord for one sec. Goddamn Discord. All right, let's try this. All right, A.A. Morris, I've got you into the main show live stream. Hello.
Hello.
A.A., can you hear me? A.A. Morris, come on in. Let me talk to Rolo. Rolo, you're in the main show live stream. You're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, hi, Arab. Hi, Jesse.
Hi, Rolo. How you doing?
Yeah, good, mate. Good, mate.
Did you have something? Did you want to ask Jesse a question?
Yes, I do. Jesse, that cannon shot at the end,
yeah,
at the end of Nukelias, it's got these white streaks. What do you know about that?
You're talking about, okay, I'm trying to imagine. I haven't watched Nukelias in a while, but it's like the cannon, they're on a boat and like two guys fire a cannon, or are they behind something? What is it?
That's
it's on a boat.
No, it's on the ground, and it's,
And then there's, like, a light that shines on their faces. Wait, hello?
Yeah, Rolo, he's asking a question.
Sorry, mate, I've got the live stream open here. Look, can you go to A.A. Morris before you come back to me, please?
A.A. Morris, can you hear me? A.A., go ahead, A.A. Let's bring
in. Can you hear me?
Yeah, hi, AA. Uh-huh. Go ahead, AA.
I don't. Can you hear me at all?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hi. No, this is.
He can't hear. That's what happened to me, too. I couldn't hear either.
Let me put AA back in the green room. Let's bring in an ounce of salt.
I'm going to click on lobby.
An ounce of salt. Yeah. You're now on the live stream with Jesse Waugh, go ahead, an ounce of salt per day.
We're having lots of fun today, aren't we?
Go ahead, Rolo.
Look, I've got the, I've closed the Radio 2 down now. So, Jesse, yeah, it's the cannon shot, and you see the nuke in the background, and there's these white, wispy streaks coming down to the left. I just wondered if you had any thoughts on those.
Oh, wait. I know what you're talking about. You're talking about the one that's out in the desert.
Yeah, that's the one.
And it's like, what that actually is. In fact, you know what? Okay, there's actual footage of the, I'm not making this up. There's actual footage of military guys piling on a huge pile of TNT onto a very high platform. And I think it's exactly the same platform that was blown up, or one that's similar in that, as in that footage.
Okay.
So basically, which proves that it was just a big pile of TNT. So that cannon shot number one is just them firing a cannon out into the desert, and then it's timed so that that huge pile of TNT blows up at the same time.
Mm.
You know, so that it looks like the cannon is a nuclear bomb, right?
Okay.
So that's what's happening. You're talking about if there's streaks of something in the sky or something?
Yeah, like if people can go back to Nukelias, and I've got the shot now. It must be something to do. Yeah, because it's TNT. Look, I don't want to take up too much of your time, but I just want to say thank you again for Nukelias. 11 years ago, you made that. You've already explained how you got into the whole nuke thing to start with. I missed the beginning of your chat with Ab. You've already explained how you got into nukes to start with. the very get-go?
Yeah, yeah, I did. I totally talked about it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, good.
Just
all right.
Question in my own mind, yeah.
Well, Jesse's going to be on – Jesse's going to be on the Discord, and Jesse, we have something called the audio chat, and people like Rolo just can do a nice back and forth chat with you at any time. It is recorded. All the silent parts are cut out and is broadcast live on Fakeologist Radio 3, live around the world.
Cool.
So you can definitely, if you're interested, spend time and answer questions. Rolo's a great interviewer from Australia. I'm sure you'd get along well with him.
Wait, I got a question because I just saw this short video on Fakeologist on YouTube where Rolo was interviewing some guy named Richard Dawes or something.
No. Rolo? Well, that wasn't me.
No, somebody was interviewing some guy that was an old Australian radio show.
John Laws. John Laws.
Oh, yeah. Look, don't worry about that, man.
What was that about, man? Why was he getting all pissed off? I don't understand, dude.
Look.
You guys had a history or something.
Yeah, look, that's not included in this show. We can talk about that in the live stream, but Ounce of Salt's here, so maybe he wants to ask a question.
Yeah, thank you, Rolo. That's Radio Rolo. Rolo will talk to you about that later if you want. An Ounce of Salt, he's also an Aussie.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have a question for the great Jesse Waugh?
I don't really have a question, but I do want to acknowledge the greatness of Jesse Waugh.
Thanks very much.
I mean, because
go ahead. Go ahead, Frank. Go ahead, Ounce. Go ahead, Ounce. Keep talking.
I've got terrible feedback.
We're not getting it here.
So Jesse, I'm extraordinarily grateful to you because
Frank, I just muted in case you're feeding back through me, but I don't think you are. Frank's
okay.
Frank, if you're getting feedback, you've got the live stream opened on your computer somewhere. That's probably what you're getting.
Okay.
Do you know, let me just make a general radio announcement. They used to say this on all the radio shows. If you call in, turn down your radio and listen to the show through your connection, not through the stream or the radio show. You'll be very confused. Do you remember that from the old days, the radio days?
And I still fell for it.
Turn off your radio.
That fixed the problem.
Yeah.
So, Jesse, I actually studied nuclear physics as a young man. And of course, I was terrified completely by the whole thing. For practically all of my life. And what I realized is that obviously no one else actually believed in nuclear weapons, because if they did, why were they living the way they were living?
Right. Do you mean like government officials?
No, I just mean the ordinary people that, because I would go to coffee with my friends and, you know, be, you know, starting to dig a nuclear fallout shelter and start prepping, etc. And everyone else thought it was hilarious but logically, if they really believed in nuclear weapons, no one would live the way they do now, would they?
Yeah, I could see, like, they'd have different levels of fear. But I think that people were, like, brainwashed by the whole Red Scare thing, you know, to a great extent. But I think if you had studied it that closely, then probably it could have really scared you, you know, to hear all these lies about all the specifics, you know, of what it could do to you and stuff.
So I guess in homage to you, I have to say, I personally think that your contribution is one of the most significant to humanity that I can ever come across.
I appreciate that tremendously.
But I think so too. I think so too.
I don't think I can personally thank you enough.
Thank you.
More celebrated. And
nor me. And if you ever come here, it would be my pleasure to take you out to an extraordinarily expensive dinner.
That's great. Thanks so much. It'll have to be no meat. I don't eat meat.
Oh, would it? Okay. Yeah. Well, look, you know, we do have vegetables in Australia. It's hard to believe.
That's great. Yeah, I really. Go for it.
The other thing I have a share in common with you is that I contacted Ray West largely as a result of your site.
Yeah.
And he and I struck up a kind of very strained relationship. And I did I put a page. He published my first page on why I think people should have more salt in their lives.
Uh-huh.
And he was always pushing the dew line as well. And, you know, in the end, he's pulled down my page on the basis that I won't go along with his views.
The Jew thing. Well, I mean, yeah.
Before you go on, it's just a little bit more on the table. I would say to Ray, well, look, Ray, if you're really so troubled by Jewish people, why don't you put a copy of the Talmud up so that people can, you know, just see how strange the Talmud is? But he won't come at any of that, and he won't name. Everything is general and just totally illogical about his anti-Jewish behavior if you put it all together. It's a kind
well,
of...
yeah, but let me clarify my stance on that issue, and it's that I just think that scapegoating the Jews is a sort of illogical way to approach a sort of analysis.
Absolutely.
That's not to say that Jews as a group don't perform certain actions or have certain motives, okay? But I think one of their purposes is to be scapegoated, okay?
Yeah.
So if you allow yourself to scapegoat them, then you're falling into a trap, okay? What that trap is, I don't know. Whose trap it is, I don't know. I wish I did.
My view of that is
fall into the trap. That's all I'm saying. You know, question Jews all you want. Question Judaism all you want. You know,
my view is that it's all about naming names. If people
precisely
people ultimately become responsible for their own actions, but only through their legal entity. And if it's just a general, slandering people don't even know what Jews are for a start. What do they stand for?
Well, do they actually have to have a stand? Just like do Muslims have? What do they stand for? I mean, it's almost a crazy categorization.
Yeah. Sorry, let me say something. Even if it were hypothetically the Jews that were guilty and there was a Jewish conspiracy, if you were to suddenly attack Jews like Holocaust them like Hitler supposedly tried to, although I think Hitler was an actor, but anyways, then what happens is they shed their tail like a lizard. And then you can't catch it. You can't catch the culprits. So what are you supposed to do? You can't scapegoat the Jews. Scapegoating the Jews is the rule number one is you can't scapegoat them. You know.
And what's rule number two? No.
No what?
No, it's a Monty Python joke.
Oh yeah, okay. I don't know. I have to brush up on my mind. But no, yeah, go ahead.
So, anyway, as a result of what you did, I started to revisit all my nuclear physics training, and then I realized that there's a really fine man called Malcolm Bowden who puts out a lot of discussion on the actual physics that was hidden and suppressed, in the last 100 years. And, you come to a realization that everything in nuclear physics is unusable. Like there are no usable engineering devices that come out from the study of, if you like, the nuclear paradigm, whereas the etheric paradigm,
mm-hmm.
all of those ideas have turned into usable devices on aircraft and so on, such as the Sagnac interferometer and a whole bunch of other stuff.
Right.
Which just leads you to the conclusion that the idea of nuclear weapons and power are actually just totally fraudulent and made up and not backed up by the actual science in any way, shape, or form. So it's a really interesting topic.
Well, then you're, but you, that means you're in the position to answer maybe some questions or to give me your feedback on some things. So, so what about, what do you think about the dump low kettle theory where, you know, nuclear, what we were talking about earlier, nuclear, what do you call them?
My view is that the dump load theory is spot on.
Okay, right.
Oh, that's
right.
Cool.
And how do you see, if you study nuclear physics, then how do you see all, how, okay, if you study nuclear physics, how could it be possible that everything you studied was pseudoscience?
Good question.
How could it be possible? Well, it's because what, it's the way they interpret the experiments. So let me explain, for example, the very simplest thing, which is the Michelson-Morley experiment. When I studied physics, the Michelson-Morley experiment was presented as the way that they disproved the existence of the ether. So when you actually go through the history and find out the history of that experiment, the idea was that if the Earth is moving around the sun and it's in the ether, then you would pick up this problem of that the Earth would create interference patterns according to the way the Michelson-Morley tubes were set up. So you'd pick up the motion. And what they found that was that the Earth had no motion at all from this thing, apart from a very slow 10 meters per second, but not the, you know, didn't pick up the spin. It didn't pick up the gyrations around the sun.
So that we're not spinning around super fast, like they say?
Et cetera, et cetera. And then I believe that. And then the point came along then was that, okay, well, that causes a problem. So if the Earth's not moving around the sun, then all of the Copernican astronomy falls apart. And that's really where Einstein's stuff all came into play. And Einstein's biographer acknowledges that openly. Without Einstein, the idea that the Earth is moving around the sun and moving at all completely fell apart. But then later, by the way, Michelson was absolutely opposed to everything that Einstein said about those experiments. And later experiments that he conducted confirmed the fact that the Earth is not moving. Now, the other important experiment
That means that we have a, what is it called, a geocentric universe? Is that what you're saying is this guy's advocating?
So the next part of this story is that there's a physicist called Sagnac, S-A-G-N-A-C, a French fellow, who demonstrated very clearly through what's called the Sagnac interferometer that the ether does exist. And he was able to make very clear predictions about the amount of fringe shift and so on. And etheric physics, things like the double slit experiment and a whole bunch of other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, the idea that light is a particle is completely ridiculous.
What is it then?
Light is simply, if you imagine, the nearest analogy is if you imagine a boat on a pond.
Yeah. Right?
And you're at the shore and you're seeing the guy at the pond and the fellow taps his hand in the water. You see a wave move across the pond and eventually it reaches the shore.
Yeah.
That's what light is. Light is you create a disturbance in the ether where you are, and it's the ripples that travel and you observe the ripples. There's no particle.
Yeah. That makes total sense.
From the point source. To yeah. your right. There's no light particle.
How does that pertain to the Earth not moving?
Okay, because all of the observations made by Michelson, so initially the Michelson-Morley experiment and then the Michelson-Gale experiment, and also an experiment by a fellow called Airy, who was the astronomer royal in the 1800s, clearly show that there's no movement of the ether. Therefore, the Earth can't be moving through it.
Interesting. How do they explain sun radioactive activity or the northern lights or whatever it is? Light.
So, it's just light. In fact, on this forum, on ABS forum, one fellow found a paper, a very good paper, about how every time you have a normal conventional blast, you create the same activity that is called radioactivity. So that's point one.
Makes radioactivity, sense.
Radioactivity can be generated by a normal explosion. And I think that, that's been the latest bit of data that you might not be aware of. Do you remember that, Ab?
Barely. That was a while ago. We haven't had a good nuclear discussion in a while, which is good that Jesse's here. But yeah.
Yeah, so that particular bit of data is very important in the story. But I guess the if you're very interested in it, Jesse, if you look on the YouTube videos of a guy called Malcolm Bowden, M-A-L-C-O-L-M.
I'm sure that I have seen what you're talking about, yeah, because it rings a bell, and about the ether, too. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and there's a whole bunch of other reasons that I came to the conclusion that the Earth is still largely because I'm also a because I couldn't get a job in nuclear physics, I ended up training as a mining engineer because at the time, a university in Australia was totally free. So I just did a couple of courses. So I ended up training as a mining engineer. And in all of my working life, we always assume the Earth is flat. All engineers assume flatness of the Earth.
Well, okay, but are you saying that you believe in a flat Earth?
Well, I try not to believe in anything, Jesse. I'm just telling you that my professional life, and I made all but what they call all body models over a very large scale. We never ever make an allowance for a curve of the Earth ever.
I mean, okay, look, that part is interesting to me, but at the same time, I would never want to confound the no nukes theory with the flat Earth theory. And I think that that's extremely dangerous, and that's been going on ever since I began talking about nuclear bombs online. And I do not want to associate those two things. I do not believe in a flat Earth. I am not a flat Earther. Jesse was not a flat Earther. I don't make opinions. I never make opinion on whether it's round, but I do believe it's round. I have noticed with my own eyes that there is a curvature to the Earth when I'm up in a plane. Okay, so even if it's subtle, but I know I'm not making it up either with my eyes. I also don't want a nuclear revisionism to be associated with the no planes theory either, because that's also been linked to it. And I want to make sure that if nuclear revisionism is associated with anything, it would be with the moon hoax, because that is definitely a hoax. Moon hoax and nuke hoax. Okay, so let's associate the moon hoax with the nuke hoax, but let's not associate nuclear revisionism with flat earthism or with no planes theory for 9/11.
Well, I'd also like to state for the public that I don't accept this sponsorship of my conflation.
So you broke up, Frank. Say that one more time.
I said I'd also like to state publicly that I don't accept Jesse Waugh's a censorship of my view that the two ideas of nuclear hoax and cosmology are shouldn't be confused.
Well, all of these things. Nuclear hoax. You didn't say cosmology. You said are you saying flat Earth? Are you associating flat Earthism with nuclear revisionism?
So everything about the nuclear idea, as I said to you before, comes from the idea of Einstein equals MC squared.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't it come from Madame Curie? Wasn't she before him?
No, Madame Curie talked about radiation.
Yeah, but isn't that the most important part of a nuclear bomb and the radiation that can kill us for thousands of years?
I think so what radiation was predated the idea of atoms.
Okay.
So, but and that, in fact... In fact, the guy that talked about radiation, Francis Röntgen, the X-ray guy, he banned any discussion of the atomic model from his laboratory.
Mm-hmm.
So quite interesting, that kind of history of physics where the guys of, say, the late 19th century, early 20th century, just didn't accept the nuclear model at all.
Okay, now you said that I was censoring you. I'm not censoring you. I'm stating outright that I
you just don't want the association. I get
deny
it.
That I deny that flat earthism has anything to do with the nuclear revisionism.
So let me put my case at least, Jesse.
Okay.
My case is that the work of Michael Samorley, which demonstrated that there was no movement in the ether, then required modern physics or the physics at the time to come up with an explanation as to why that happened. So in short, I think the catch cry is Einstein simply abolished the ether.
Okay, look, I mean, personally, I actually believe in something called an ether. So, I mean, I don't have a problem with that. Although I just think that ether is just a general catch-all term for dark matter or whatever we don't know is there, you know.
Yeah, so, whatever we
but so, that doesn't yeah. really, but I don't think that's so, really so without, all that pertinent, honestly, to the revisionism.
Sure, well, that's interesting because even Einstein's biographer explains that without Einstein, the Copernican cosmology completely falls down.
All right, Frank. I want to wrap up with Jesse, so I don't want to get down. I don't want to go
no
down this one.
No,
Let me ask Frank one more thing. Frank, I honestly, all respect due to you. You sound like a nice person, and I have enjoyed talking to you. But I really, honestly, just question your motives for wanting to conflate. Nuclear revisionism with flat earthism. And look, to me, that suggests that you have some sort of motive for doing so, for wanting to do so. And it
of course
suggests
I have
that you have, it suggests, let me finish. It suggests that you actually work for some sort of intelligence agency or in some capacity. No,
I was told I worked for the nuclear.
I know on these conspiracy forums, I know everyone's always calling everyone a shill. Everyone's always calling everyone out. That's why I'm not angry at you, Frank. I'm just saying that what you're saying suggests, in fact, it proves in my mind that you have some sort of ulterior motive for putting forth this conflation of nuclear revisionism with flat earthism when the two are not related. Nuclear revisionism is a real question. I am not an intelligence operative. Jesse Wall is not an intelligence operative. I am a real person who questions the existence of nuclear bombs because they are the cornerstone of world power, and they have kept us all in check in fear for, 100 years now, and I don't want that to happen anymore. And I thank God that I'm not the only one asking this question anymore, and it's an incredibly important question.
Okay? Amen.
And I thank God that there are people online asking this question, and not everyone is attacking people anymore for asking this question. And, fakeologists, you were asking about why this hasn't grown. I think what Frank is proving is that it is growing, because if it weren't continuing to grow, he wouldn't need to be keeping it in check.
Mm-hmm. Well, Frank is a salty character, and Frank, I'm going to move you to the green room for a minute. Frank's going to go in the green room Frank is a salty character. Let me give a bit of background. And
thank you, Frank. Thank you for coming on. I have enjoyed talking to you.
Frank is a very salty character. He's very interesting. One of the problems that we have, or anyone that thinks outside the mainstream has, is you get every type of character coming on, and the only people that have really open minds to even nuclear revisionists, sometimes their minds are open to some other things. For instance, and I'll be honest with you, I have some wacky ideas too that I would have dismissed ages ago. Now, I don't know the nature of the earth, but I think it's a discussion worth having. Now, I segregated it on my blog. I took it off the main blog. I made it a sub-discussion for every time it flares up, then I'll put something on a sub-section of Fakeologist called flatearth.fakeologist.com. That doesn't mean I believe in the flat earth, but I believe it's worthy of some kind of discussion because it's so big. Then
yeah, of course.
I'm not ignoring an elephant in the room. Just like I have a hard time believing that some of the actors and actresses in our world that are promoted they all have this certain look to them. So I've also entertained the insane idea that maybe some of them are somehow engineered, just like we can put a sperm and an egg together and put it in vitro and then implanted in a woman. I think that there's some breeding, selective breeding going on in that, and they're creating some androgynous individuals in some way.
Look, that may be, but the flat earth is, regardless of whether the earth is flat or not, is irrelevant to nuclear revisionism.
Absolutely.
But, okay?
Yeah. Oh, I agree.
So we could talk about it all day. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't have
anything to do with it.
I know, but Frank has been banned a couple times from the forum because
I don't want him censored.
He's not.
In fact, the fact that he came on and said what he said adds credence to my argument as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
So I'm glad he came on.
Yeah. So what you're saying, if there was nothing to it, then if he's an intelligence operative, he wouldn't have bothered with it. Yeah. I agree, but I don't think he is personally. He has some whacked out ideas, but we've kept him around because I think it's fun
keep
to
him
be
around. It's cool.
Oh yeah. I don't actively ban anyone unless they're being super disruptive. Frank is a very respectful person. I like Frank. And if you search for an ounce of salt on some of the almost 500 audio chats on fakeologist.com, then you will hear a very interesting man. He's a very learned man. And he also thinks you should put salt in everything, all your food. And I personally am not sure about that one either. I don't really necessarily.
I love sea salt. It's delicious. But I want to say something about Rollo too. Cause Rollo was asking me, and this is not meant as an insult or anything, you know? When he was asking about, white streaks coming off of the side of a TNT explosion that was being passed off as a nuclear explosion, I think he may have been getting at. This is a supposition. It's an assumption on my part, so I may be wrong entirely.
Yeah.
Excuse me, Rollo, if I am. But he's asking about white streaks, which brings to mind the possibility that he may be insinuating that those white streaks had something to do with either chemtrails or UFOs. And I don't think that those things need to be brought into nuclear revisionism either, because they're irrelevant to it, regardless of
what minute mark is that in your video. Do you know?
I don't know, but I know the shot he's talking about. It's a shot where this soldier's out in the Nevada desert, and they shoot off a cannon off into the distance, and then suddenly a big explosion explodes. And it's supposed to be a nuclear bomb where all these soldiers are standing there.
I think Napoleon put a link to that, actually.
But if Rollo, if you were insinuating that those have something to do with chemtrails or UFOs, again, UFOs, chemtrails, flat Earth, have nothing to do with nuclear revisionism.
Okay.
Rollo
wants to respond. Go ahead, Rollo.
Okay, thanks.
I brought him back into the main show live stream. There's a delay that he'll have to turn
off
the stream.
I wasn't actually – no, it was nothing to do with chemtrails. It had nothing to do with any of that. Look, Jesse War, I had the highest regard for you. You changed my mind overnight when I watched that, 11 years ago when you posted it, when YouTube first started it.
Thank you.
Yeah, and it was just at the end there. I wasn't trying to be a smart ass or anything. All I was just asking was a basic question, what you thought, and you answered it very well.
I knew you weren't. I knew when you weren't being trying to be a smart ass at all. Maybe I'm just a little wary of
people. Yeah,
if you're not asking about if you weren't insinuating that there were chemtrails or UFOs involved in it, then excuse me 1,000 times. And
I'm
glad to have a compatriot in nuclear revisionism that believes what I believe, that nuclear bombs don't exist. And that means a lot to me right there.
You bet.
I
don't know if you remember, you spoke to Chris Kendall on one of his first shows over at the
Hoaxbusters. Hoaxbusters.
Yeah, and they lost their blog.
It's back. Don't worry. Heard.
Yeah, I know it's back, but it's not the same as it was, but they had to go to a different – so they're hoaxbusterscall.com now, not Blogspot. They
were always hoaxbusterscall.com. It was just rerouted to the Google site, but let's not go down. Let's not get too
derailed. No, that's fine.
You did talk with Chris Kendall, and we like Chris, so –
We do.
What other interviews have you done, Jesse? Because I actually haven't listened to too many. I haven't found them.
Do you mean interviews on Nuclear or my interviews on my podcast? Because I've done a lot of podcast interviews.
Well, both. First of all, make sure you drop a link in the future when you're off this call to all your old audios so we can find them. And I'll
try to at some point, if I can figure out how to use Discord. But I've interviewed a lot of people, like a lot of people in the conspiracy movement. Eustace Mullins was the most famous one, but like, for example, A Cult of Personality, Greg Kaminsky.
No, I don't really know.
He did his first show on my show, and then also Ognier from mm-hmm. who had the Information Underground. He did his first show on my show too, and like I said, Henrik Palmgren was on my show in when Red Ice was brand new in 2006. So I actually am kind of part of, you know, a significant.
But who have you talked to about nuclear stuff that we can listen to? Have you done any interviews just about the old nukes?
I can't remember. Maybe one more. I can't remember.
Oh, so there hasn't been you haven't done a lot of talk about it.
No, I haven't. No.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Well, I think it's an important topic, and they, even the nuke plant near me, they want to close it down. Well, no, sorry, they want to keep it going, but the group that's against it, they say they're for clean air. And I think some of the anti-nuke groups are also part of the whole controlled opposition, because they all agree on the same thing, that nuclear power is the most wonderful, cleanest energy in the world, but it can also kill us for 10,000 years if it goes wrong. So it's the ultimate paradox. And I think that the anti-nuke groups are actually, they're still feeding the same lie. That it's
absolutely super.
So I think they in turn work together, and just lately, just this week, I got an email saying that I should come help close down the nuke plant, because it can basically wipe out Toronto if it melts down like Fukushima. Even though, if you believe in the Fukushima story, which
I don't believe that at all. In fact, I went to Fukushima within a year of that happening.
Oh, neat.
Tell us about that. I didn't go to the actual meltdown site, but I went to Fukushima, which is a sort of like a prefecture of Japan or whatever they call them.
Sendai. And, Sendai is nearby, right? Sendai?
I went to Sendai too, where the
tidal wave
wiped out
the tsunami.
Yeah. But, no, I actually went over to Japan in 2014 in April to follow the cherry blossoms northward from Tokyo. Mm-hmm. So I went from Tokyo, I stayed in Fukushima City, and then I stayed in Sendai, and then I stayed in Hokkaido. And that's how I went, exactly as the Sakura festivals were taking place, mm-hmm. And just to see that. But I did happen to pass through Fukushima, and they also have a tree – which is the largest cherry tree in Japan, which is a pilgrimage site for the Japanese to go see at Sakura. And I went there and saw that at that time. And there was absolutely nothing wrong with Fukushima. There was nothing that was happening bad. So, I mean, except at that plant, I suppose. But in terms of nuclear, like, meltdown, I don't even know what that is.
Mm-hmm. You know? Well, it's when the cooling system stops functioning, and they said it's because it shorted out because of the tsunami, the flooding, and therefore the heat was uncontrollable, and then the rods melt, and then they go into the ground, and they have to shut the whole thing down. But like I said, if you believe, like I do, that nuclear power and nuclear power plants don't do anything, then everything is a myth, and it's all just an excuse in one way or another to control what could be fairly unlimited power from either hydro, like we have in Ontario, or solar, or some of the other things. And if you can ration it, then you can jack up the price, which I agree with that theory of yours. And also, if
artificial scarcity,
perfect. That's a good economics term. And also, if you want to clear a large area around a plant that might be in a United Nations designated economic zone, then it can be used as an urban land clear. I call it urban land clear. If you just don't want people in an area which you could, if you believe that humans wreck and despoil or spoiling the earth, then you could just say, hey, there's radiation here. We have this magic Geiger counter that makes a tick tick noise, and we need to clear the entire area of human beings. Well, hey, they did it in Chernobyl, although they couldn't get the babushkas out.
Scotland too, yeah. Well, with the clearances, yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's an excellent point. That note was never brought up on Nuclize Forum.
Yeah,
that they can use that as a land grab. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, United
Nations. I don't have any problem with meltdown, because the way you explained it, what meltdown is basically just like if they stop boiling the water to use up the excess electricity, then what's going to happen? Well, yeah, everything's going to melt down.
Well, yeah, the cooling towers, because the rods are so hot and they're just, you can't stop the heat from coming out of the rods. They have cooling rods that are in between the magic rods that they say boil the water. And if the whole cooling system melts down, then the whole magic rod system, which I call the magic rods, and they're in bundles, they're in big faggots, as a bundle of sticks are called, faggots. And if the cooling system stops, if the water stops flowing, then they all fuse and melt down into an endless ball of uncontrollable heat, and they usually go deep into the ground, and that's what they call uncontrolled, out of control, radioactive meltdown. But
well, then that's a meltdown. It is a meltdown, but it's not radioactive.
Well, it is. Well, yeah, nuclear. But they say because the heat just keeps growing and growing ad infinitum, then it's dangerous. And yeah, it's unlimited heat, but they're saying because it's not being cleared out, or the cooling isn't taking the heat, or the I think they say that the water is heavy after it's been around the rod. So the water is called heavy water because of all the radioactivity, where it's changed the nature of the water. I think they call it
Like that three-eyed fish in The Simpsons.
Right. Well, right. That's their excuse. So they're saying if they can't get the water circulating properly and turn the water back into normal water, then it becomes an out of control, what they call chain nuclear reaction. That's the official story. So that's why these things have to be either brought up to power and down from full power very carefully, with the proper cooling. So when the whole system stops and the cooling system stops, like they said at Fukushima, then we have an uncontrollable radioactive mess. And as in Chernobyl, they can't do anything once it's turned into a big ball of rotten or melted rods. All they can do is build a huge sarcophagus around it, like they did in Chernobyl. And then it just becomes a shrine that cannot be touched in any way or entered for whatever the half-life of uranium is, and I believe it's thousands of years.
Okay, that's where I think it gets into fiction with the whole half-life.
Oh, all of it. All of it's fiction.
Because Chernobyl is – well, no, that's what I'm saying. I mean, like meltdown, I can totally see one of those – what did you call them? I keep forgetting it. Those towers, what are they called?
They're called cooling towers. That's where they blow off the steam.
I can totally see how one of those could melt down if they stop boiling the water. You
know? Well, it's the actual fuel rods that melt down. They fuse and become a big mess that you can't do anything with.
Pass the heat into the water,
Really, but everything about a nuclear plant is real. We can go there. I've toured one. Well, we couldn't go in it after 9/11. You go to this model trailer, which has all the duplicate control rooms that look like 1960s Disney control rooms, by the way. But that's another story. But the official story, everything is real except the magic box, the magic room, which is the fuel rods. That's the magic part. And that's so everyone that goes to the plant and does all their functions
believes it.
Yeah, because I would say probably one or two or nobody has access to the magic rods. You see, that's where the magic.
That's the magic.
That's the magic aspect.
It's like a nuclear bomb. It's like a nuclear bomb itself. It's like who actually sees the plutonium or whatever's supposed to be in it. And then even if there were such a thing as plutonium in it, then how is it proven? How could anybody know that it's these atoms supposedly splitting that, you know, that's just like it's myth.
Well, and, you can't and, see it. You can't sense and, it with and any of your six
Frank
senses.
And how Frank was talking about in his schooling, how like he believed everything. Well, if an intelligent student, a college student, you know, can't see past all of the pseudoscience, then why would lay people, common people, be able to see past the pseudoscience?
Well, there's always a reason. Yeah. There's always a plausible deniability, and that's just we're just not smart enough as lay people. You see, they're highly trained.
No, that gets back to the scripture thing where they convince us we're not smart enough.
Yes,
with so
absolutely.
Much scripture, you know,
we don't have the knowledge. Yes,
legalese, you know, but it's not that we're not intelligent. It's that they're being tricky. That's all. And I want to clarify something, my opinion on something. I don't believe that cunning is intelligence. I don't believe that it's superior intelligence. I believe it's just cunning. That's all it is. You know?
No, I agree. Well, we've talked for almost a couple hours. I've enjoyed this a lot, immensely, actually.
Thanks so much. Yeah,
and this is fantastic. You are now on the Discord, so you can come in at any time, and I'd certainly like to have you back because there's lots to talk about. We can talk about all kinds of conspiracy-type things, but you're on here now, and if anyone, you can always go into the audio chat live stream. That's just another audio channel on the Fakeologist Discord server. So anytime you want to meet with someone else, like Rolo or anyone, and just have a off-the-cuff conversation, you can go in and out. You don't have to schedule it. And you can see who's around by just looking on the member list, whoever's light is green. But you can direct message, you can call. It's just a nice little central server that we're allowed to have as long as the Discord doesn't blow up like YouTube. But it's not, you know, it's someone else's platform, so I can't say it's going to be around forever. And they have, we are told that they are censoring all channels that are talking about things that they don't want discussed. So like YouTube, they can do whatever they want with it. But for now, it's a pretty great channel to work with and to talk with. But,
cool.
Again, I want to thank you for Nuke Lies. Fantastic video. It's on FakeTube. And people should download it. And I don't
understand.
They should download it to their computers, create a link. Yeah, download it, distribute it.
Can I thank Jesse as well? Just one before you. Yeah, look, Jesse, thank you for changing my world, I guess, from a selfish point of view, but the world of fear. You've taken the fear away big time. Thank you, mate.
Thank you. That means everything to me. It really does.
Yeah, and what a great... You're a great speaker, and you do great videos, and I hope you do more. I want to see some of your old stuff or listen to your old stuff, and how bad a person could you be if you have a Canadian father and American mother? I know.
You too.
that's an amazing mix you got there. And
that's unusual, maybe it's not that unusual.
I love both countries. I think both countries are great. And I really am upset for the destruction of America. I think that if people knew the truth about all these psychological operations and if they actually studied what we're talking about, then they would hate that they're being destroyed state by state by this central government as well. And
instead of hating us for discussing it.
Yeah. Exactly. And we're giving happy news. How can this be bad that we're saying that there is no weapon that can destroy the entire planet? Why would you be mad at that?
Exactly. Well, my dad got mad about it when I told him.
He's not on board? He's not on board the whole nuke lies idea?
What he thinks now, but I was up in Toronto. I was up in Niagara when I told my dad. I showed my dad the video or something.
Yeah.
And,
are you coming back to Niagara at all?
My grandfather passed away. I still have some family out there, but I'm not sure if I'll be up there anytime soon. But you were saying you feel for America. I feel for Canada and the UK too, just because they're suffering tremendously, the same plight that America is, you know.
Well, Canadians love America. We can't get enough of it. We've got rid of most of our Canadian companies are gone. They're all American now. And I don't know if Canadians are so enthusiastic anymore now that we're completely flipped over. And I think that we import a lot of our psychological operations and our military exercises. So we're really just a branch plant. Oh, yeah, we're just a branch plant.
And from England.
Well, England and America.
And America, yeah.
Yeah, I think Toronto is a city that they love American stuff, but they think they're Europeans over here. That's sort of what the hybrid that they think they are.
I know. Well, they kind of are.
Yeah, they kind of are.
That's not an illegitimate claim. And when Europeans say that they're not, they're just being dicks. Yeah. You know what I mean? So yeah. No,
well, they love American stuff too. Everyone loves American stuff, and everyone loves Americans. But I don't think we like what the people that have hijacked the nation, that have come in and just taken over Washington and just run the show, whether it's being run from the Vatican or London or wherever.
Right, exactly.
Americans, they're not like that at all. They're victims just as much as anybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's sad.
They still have guns. Thank God they still have guns.
Well, that's it. And that's the 100-year plan to get that out of the Constitution.
When America gives up its guns, the world is no longer free.
I agree with that. And I think that it's a 100-year plan. It's not going to happen next year, the year after. It's going to be when a generation or two rolls over and changes the total tone and they ask for a constitutional amendment. It's not going to happen next year.
It may never happen. I doubt Americans will ever give up their guns.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe they'll have to be pried out of their hands. But anyway, thanks so much. And we're going to wrap it up now.
Thank you.
And I'm going to play us off and join. Come back anytime.
All right. Great. Thanks. Have a good one.
All right. Take care.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All of my life, I felt that you were listening. Watching for ways to help me stay in tune. A lot of my dreams, although confusion keeps trying to